You're listening to the Feed Your Wild podcast, a conscious lifestyle show about all things nourishing for your body, mind, and soul. I'm Vanessa Rodriguez, and join me for candid conversations with changemakers, exploring health and wellness, food as medicine, intuition and spirituality, and nature-based practices that will transform your health and feed all parts of your wild self. Hello, my dear Feed Your Wild family. Welcome back. I'm Vanessa Rodriguez, your host, and here we are, spring equinox in the Northern Hemisphere, for those of you who hang out above the equator. I'm really excited to dive in today. We took a break on the podcast, if you haven't noticed, if you're a regular listener, over the past couple of weeks, and really needed. What's interesting is in my work with clients and also in my own life, and looking also at the lives of my friends and loved ones, it seems like this is an opportune time or was for deep rest, restoration, and also to me felt still very much like a Mercury retrograde or shadow period in terms of reviewing and reassessing and reprioritizing. We took a break with the podcast to catch up on some things, to get a sense of renewal, and also just energetically, I myself really needing to press the pause button. I hope that you are also doing the same if you're feeling the call to do that. So thank you for allowing me to press that pause button and coming back to hang out with us. I do want to mention that this is a hashtag unfiltered episode. And we normally have these episodes with my dear friend, Megan Liebman, a fellow functional nutritionist and herbalist and witchy mama and so many beautiful things. And if you've been a longtime listener of the Feed Your Wild podcast, then you know Megan. She's one of our besties. And we typically have quarterly unfiltered musings. So we used to do moon musings on the new and full moon. And then life got crazy even before Corona hit. And so we modified it to quarterly with the changing of the seasons and the equinoxes and solstices. Well, this time there was a lot going on with Megan, and she needed some deep rest and restoration on all fronts. And so today we are holding space for Megan's spirit to be with us today. She is okay. I know I'm making it sound like maybe something happened to Megan, but you can connect with her on Instagram, send her your love. I know that she would love to hear that and connect with you guys. But today we are going to pretend that Megan is right by us and chiming in, and I can hear her voice already as I'm starting to dive into this conversation and this topic. I really love doing these particular episodes, the hashtag unfiltered, and diving into the juiciness that these equinoxes and solstices, these turning of the seasons, have available to us. And even though we experience the spring equinox, the vernal equinox every year it's totally different. There are a lot of similar energies, but it's always in a different context, ecology, vibe, and also season of your own life. So I'm looking forward to sharing what's really been coming through for me. And I did open up the Akashic Records while sinking into the themes of this particular episode. So there is a little bit of an Akashic soul nourishment reading in here. And I'm allowing my guides to guide me in this podcast. So let's dive in. I first want to set us up with reflecting and looking back. We are coming out of Pisces season. And boy, oh boy, was this Pisces season super watery and also emotional. I don't know if you yourself have experienced that this season. My dreams have been wild. I'm also a water sign, a sun sign. I'm Cancer. So much coming up in terms of my emotions, but also in my dreamscape and at night, literally being woken up, having epiphanies, journeys. It was pretty wild and intense, but all really beautiful. And yeah, the intensity continues. And I feel that that is true in a lot of people's lives right now. And we can see this collectively. I mean, even when we look at the pandemic, it literally was a year ago that it began to creep into our lives, at least in the side of the world where I am, in the US. March was really when we started to see a lot of this come up. And in our last spring equinox hashtag unfiltered musing with Megan. So this was the vernal spring equinox in 2020. We talked about coronavirus. We talked about how to support what has been coming up since then. A lot of intention on the lungs and grief that we had been experiencing. That was an incredibly intense time. And now here we are a year later. And we're still in it, but in a very different way. So, of course, we are still navigating the health aspects of it and wanting to tend to our immune system and overall health, as well as our communities. But there have been a lot of other intense events that have occurred since then. So, especially in the sociopolitical realms. And I would say that right now, when I tune into what are we really being called to tend to, on a body level, I'm really feeling like nourishment for our frayed nervous system and our tanked adrenals is so critical and important. So we're going to be talking about various areas when we think about springtime, the areas that we want to tend to. We look at this through the lens of a seasonal approach, like traditional seasonal. So we can look at traditional Chinese medicine and Ayurveda. We can also look at what is popping up in your environment that speaks to what would be medicine for us wherever you live. But also some insights that are coming in through my Akashic reading on this, having to do with a lot of the fire that we experience as we move into Aries. So just as a quick snapshot of the vernal equinox or spring equinox, equinox literally means equal night. We celebrate this on or close to March 20th, 21st in the Northern Hemisphere and September 21st in the Southern Hemisphere. Darkness is only exactly half the equation at two points of the year, in the spring and the autumn equinoxes. So when we think about the spring equinox, we always think about this dynamic balance of the light and the shadow. And here we are coming out of the shadow, slowly but surely, in nature and in ourselves, because of course we are nature. And so I see this also coming out of some of the shadow experiences that we've had literally over the past year. The energy around the spring equinox is of newness, renewal. It's the beginning of the astrological year. It sets up a lot of themes for the year ahead. And we start off with Aries. So now we are going into Aries season. And what's interesting about this one this year is that it's the first Aries equinox since our shift into the air paradigm, we can call it, where we had the conjunctions, the major conjunctions in Aquarius. So we're moving into this period over the next 200 years, really, where there is a lot of action and energy with the air sign of Aquarius. If you want to hear more on that, then I recommend listening to our previous episode with astrologer Katie Emma. She really breaks that down in a beautiful way, so I'll make sure to link that up in the show notes. Another thing that I think is important to note that isn't really talked about a lot, but this is something that you can actually research for yourself, is that this is also a new beginning, or literally energetically feels like a new beginning, because we are experiencing pretty massive waves of photonic gamma ray light coming onto the Earth. This light is really sort of this process of upgrading, so to speak. We're all being upgraded with this photonic light. And this occurs every 2,000 years. If you want to hear more about this, I would look up Rory Duff, roryduff.com. He's a geobiologist who's really been studying and talking about this for a really long time. And it's fascinating. But the day before and like on every equinox and solstice, we have these energy lines of the Earth that come into harmony. And so these are very significant times. They have been throughout many different cultures throughout the world. And what's interesting with this particular year is that we are experiencing even more energy through those photonic gamma ray lights coming in. What does this mean for you? Well, this can really amplify physical symptoms like headaches, anxiety, sleeplessness, also just amplified feelings in general. Yes, we can say this is also potentially due to stress of just this past year, right? And everything that we've been experiencing collectively. But I would say that I myself have acutely been experiencing amplified symptoms over the past few weeks to a month. It's kind of been slowly building, and I'm just feeling it more and more. And so one of the things that we really touch in on this podcast is how there are so many unseen factors and things to consider that have a direct impact on us, on our health, on our state of being. So opening up and becoming curious and aware of what are all the things that are actually impacting me and my energy body in a way that can elicit very real changes or symptoms. So are you feeling that surge in energy? I know I am. And what can we do about this? Well, just really, really take care. Take care of yourself. This is where, you know, that whole self-care movement and focus on self-care is so critical. We need to nourish ourselves at the deepest level. And that's not just with food and herbs. It's on all levels, body, mind, spirit, and energetically. So what are the things that you can bring in that are nourishing you that maybe your body, your heart have been asking for, but you just haven't put it at the top of your list? I definitely would bring that in right now for you. So here we are. On top of that, we're setting the tone in the season with Aries. Aries is that tenacious cardinal fire sign. It's the beginning, the start of the year. So it's medical astrology wise, it's connected to the head and it's filled with energy and bravery. It's connected to Mars. It's ruled by Mars, which is associated with our physical and animalistic instincts. It's also connected to leadership, right? Aries is connected to leadership and warriorship. Warriorship in terms of being a crusader for yourself, this crusader energy for love. And, you know, as with everything, it can flip. And if it's imbalanced, it can be just a destructive warrior or crusader. We definitely have seen that in our history. And we want to honor this beautiful energy and medicine of Aries and Mars without it being totally destructive. And we're going to go more into that and the fiery nature of Aries in a moment. Aries rules the first house, which is the house of the self. This is, in a sense, the basis of everything in your experience. It's like the base of the pyramid, representing the deepest sense of self, identity, and our basic needs. So we can take advantage of this Aries energy. It's wonderful, uplifting energy to start new things, embrace a fresh start if you so choose. And something that I have been noticing for myself, but also literally like with almost every client and also with my loved ones, things are manifesting very quickly. Like the power of our beliefs and thoughts to manifest, that time between the thought and the belief and the manifestation is getting shorter and shorter. And that's because the veil is getting thinner as we evolve. And I feel that even when we're moving into this era of the air element and like this Aquarian age, technology and the things that move through air, such as the thoughts and those beliefs, are just like rapidly creating your reality. So when we look at Aries, it rules the head. This is really a call to pay attention to your thoughts and your beliefs, because of course, thoughts are run by your beliefs. And both of them create your reality. Full stop. Does this mean that everything that has happened to you is your fault? Absolutely not, right? The world and reality is so much more complex than that. And there are definitely things that happen that were not part of contracts, that were not what you signed up for. That is what you could say the blessing, the magic, and also the shadow side of things is that when we come to this earth, we're also living in a space where we have free will to choose certain things, to choose a way of living and what we're putting our energy and focus toward, you know, love versus fear, as an example. And so when I say that your thoughts and your beliefs create your reality, it's not saying that everything is your fault. This is not about a blame game and shaming yourself because of events that occurred in your life, in your life experiences. But this is to remind you that you have so much power. You have more power than you could imagine, literally. We can't even imagine the kind of power that we have. And so we can take this, the fact that our thoughts and beliefs can also create reality. They're not the only things that can. We can take that and run with it in an empowered way. And what would that look like for you? What would it look like to get really honest with yourself? to do an assessment of your inner workings, of your beliefs and your thoughts, getting very brave, courageous, and honest with yourself, and starting to actually make changes, shift the things that you don't want to believe. Because a lot we came here with wasn't even our choice, right? A lot of it was. And then, you know, we agreed to certain lessons in this lifetime. And so even though they may be tough and really challenging, we said, yes, we're going to like go through this and learn it. But a lot of it we inherited. We inherited from our ancestors. We inherited from our family, our biological parents. We inherited from caretakers, from anybody that has been in close proximity to us, that's sort of like in that close energetic family circle. We've also been programmed by society and our community and religion and spirituality and books and content that you consume. So there are many different ways that these beliefs and these thoughts occur in ourselves, in our minds. And that doesn't matter as much as simply allowing yourself that time and space to look at the closet and can we Marie Kondo a little bit of our beliefs and our thoughts. So that has been actually a really big theme that was coming through with the Akashic Records on this particular spring equinox, March 20th, 2021. The reason being is that as this veil is getting thinner and thinner, this veil between this 3D realm, material realm that we believe is, quote, reality, and everything else, right? The unseen realms, the spiritual realms, like energy. As that veil gets thinner, manifestations are coming in so much more quickly. And it's so critical that we pay attention to our beliefs and our thoughts and the activity of our mind that is leading to those manifestations. And if that wasn't enough, I'm going to throw another thing at you. And maybe some of you are already aware of this. Maybe for some of you, this is like way over your head and you're not even ready for this jelly. And that's totally cool. But I have to say it because Spirit was telling me that this is an important component. Another piece that might feel incredibly jarring, yes, in addition to everything that we've been experiencing with like Pisces season and coming in and the veil going thinner and also the photonic gamma ray light that's coming in. Another thing that's happening also connected in with the thinning of this veil is that we are jumping timelines. What does this mean? Each soul has multiple timelines happening. When we step outside of the 3D time-space continuum for just a second, bringing in time when there's no time, that was a terrible attempt at a joke. We go beyond the space-time continuum. There is no time, okay? So we're in quantum. We're in energy land. We're in the spirit realm. We're in a lot of places, but we'll say we're in quantum. All time is now. So, for example, that time when you experienced, let's say, like a fall that really hurt and impacted you when you were a kid, when you were like 5 years old, and it was kind of traumatic for you. That time period and that event is still very much alive in your soul body and your lived experience. Even though you are aware and looking around and it's March 2021. In the same way, we have our future selves that are also present. I actually see this a lot when I work with clients in the Akashic Records, is that sometimes, you know, they have spirit helpers come in. Sometimes they have some ancestors. And sometimes it's their future selves that come in and show up. Or there's an invitation to travel forward to meet your future self. And when we talk about the future, this is something that it's important to know. Like, you can't just go to a so-called fortune teller and ask them to tell your future, and that's the word, that's the finalized future, that's definitely what's going to happen. We can't say that for sure because timelines are always moving. You're jumping timelines constantly through your current lived experiences and choices. So you can choose something. You could like be headed toward a future point right now, but there might be a pivotal point that you meet where you make a different choice based off of like literally becoming a different person, right? How many of you can look back 10 years and say, holy shit, I was a completely different person? And that means that you have jumped timelines, because when you transform and transmute yourself, you shift timelines. We are at a point where so many of us are jumping timelines. It's a very pivotal time. And this can feel incredibly jarring. You know, there's a lot of other stuff going on with timelines. I'm not going to talk about that today because it's too much and it's kind of going a little off topic. But what you need to know about this is that this also might feel jarring. So you might feel totally sane one day and you're like going on your path and, you know, like you're riding on your metaphorical bike and you're going down this one path and you think you know your destination, you're looking, and then the next day you feel like a crazy person, that you're on a totally different bike, that you're going somewhere else, you're spinning around in circles, you're not going there. And then the next day it's like you're on the floor, you like can barely get up because you're just feeling so overwhelmed. A lot of this can be happening because of these jumping of the timelines, and it just feels really jarring. So hold a lot of space and compassion for yourself during this, and just know that all you really have to do in those moments is ground and get connected to your center. Literally any practice that you have to do that is going to be so supportive and key as we move forward in these times. It's only going to amplify. So whatever you got to do to ground yourself, to center yourself. My favorites are grounding with Mama Earth, going for a swim, using water to support myself, dancing, humming, using my voice, feeling my vagus nerve being activated, going into my heart space. Breath work is so beautiful as well. So use all the tools. Of course, like we got the plant medicines and vibrational medicine. We have all the things available to us. Bring them in. Bring them into your experience right now, because these things are just going to amplify. Okay. So I want to transition to a specific message that I received from the Akashic Records around this time. And it relates to Aries and fire, right? So fire being the element connected in with Aries and Mars. And what Spirit and my guides showed me was really focusing in on our headspace, checking your headspace. What has accumulated? Now, when we come into the springtime, if you're looking at it from, well, a lot of different cultural lenses, but let's take Ayurveda, for example. By this time, we have accumulated a lot of kapha. Kapha is the dosha that is earth and water. There's a buildup of maybe excess earth and water. And fire is what's going to come in and really help to clear any kind of overaccumulation or stagnation. Well, what we're being called here in this particular spring equinox is to check in on perhaps the kapha that is accumulated in our headspace. What is dampening your thoughts, beliefs, perceptions, your vision? Perhaps you have lack of clarity. What is dampening that? And can you allow the fire of this season of Aries, that Aries energy, to burn through the muck and through the old? In TCM and Ayurveda, this springtime really is about that renewal and detoxification. It's a time to purify and clear. And I'll talk about various foods and herbs that are helpful to do that. We are presented with those in nature if you look around. So, of course, remembering that we are not separate from nature. So, when we stay in tune and in rhythm with nature, with the seasonal changes, that means that we're adapting and we're utilizing the things that are available to us in our environment and ecology, and we're allowing those to help us in that adaptation process as we transition seasons, which are really the toughest periods, right? The toughest periods are in those transition periods. Like, that's when you experience a lot of colds or sinus issues, or you just get sick, etc. So we really want to support our immune system, but really calling in the natural elements and the foods and the herbs, the plants that are available to us already to assist us. So again, allowing the fire of this season and Aries to burn through that muck and the old. Now, there is the potential for burning too hot, too quickly, getting hot-tempered, those fiery reactions, right? There is an art, an ancient art, to tending fire. And it requires relationship. Relationship to this element that renews and creates, that clears and transforms. Without relationship, fire can destroy without renewal and healing. So how will you meet with fire today and this season? We must become the steward of the fire within. Develop that relationship and become the steward. The fire in the belly, the Agni principle. So Agni being an Ayurvedic principle of fire and metabolism. But we can feel this fire in the belly. We can feel the fire in our hearts. We can feel the fire in our loins sometimes, right? We could feel the fire in our throats when we really want to say something. We could feel the fire in our heads. So there's fire throughout our body, and it has a different quality at different times. But all of them are connected to the head, and in so many ways. We can even look at the gut, for example, and this gut-brain connection through the vagus nerve and through the blood and the lymphatic system, and how the brain has its own lymphatic system called the glymphatic system in the brain. We can also see that gut-brain connection through the TCM lens, for example, liver fire rising. So this is when we have fire happening, that overreactive fire happening, that anger also connected in with fire in our liver area rising up, which can cause headaches and migraine. As you explore your body, where do you sense the fire that wants to be tended to? What is the quality of the fire within? Is it non-existent? Is it low and weak? Is it simmering and steady? Is it fiery and tumultuous? Perhaps overreactive? Does it burn hot or burn out? Can you develop a relationship with the fire within you? When I tune into the fire within me, I see that my fire shapeshifts depending on many things. It has also shown itself to me as a dragon, as an eternal flame, as a river, almost like molten lava, among other things. And a long time ago, Spirit showed me a practice that has really served me well. And honestly, I've gotten away from it, and I'm feeling the call to bring it back into my experience and practice. And that is utilizing a black flame for transmuting lower vibrational thought forms and energies. So my understanding of this black flame, the way that it was shown to me, is that it has this purification power, and it brings back the essence of the pure essence of whatever that is to light, and it burns away everything else. So this is a form of energy work, essentially. And the more that I connect with black flame, my understanding of it is that it's connected to the source of our spiritual power within. It's part of that divine spark that we have, that spark of mystery, and the spiritual core of who we are. We can also connect it in with Shakti and Kundalini energy, although it feels slightly different than those energies. But it can also be a spark that produces creativity and innovation. But in the way that it was shown to me, it was to be used for transmuting and transforming lower vibrational energies. So this can be thoughts and thought forms, beliefs that pop up that we become aware of, and even entities and things that show up. It could also be more digital stuff in nature. So if we're getting things through the computer or the TV or even like EMFs, so we can utilize the black flame to transmute those lower vibrational forms and energies into lighter, higher vibrational forms and energies, or simply to purify and clear out. So I'll give you an example of how I myself have used this. And with this practice, it does require that, number one, we stay curious, because in your curiosity, you discover. You discover the unseen and the unknown. Or perhaps the known, but you've kept it in your closet or under your bed. So the curiosity brings a level of connection and compassion, like a permission to look at something that might not be so pleasant to look at, right? And it also requires awareness and a commitment to staying aware. So that means radical honesty. And when you feel that there is a certain pattern in your life, it's usually run by some sort of belief or thought pattern, or it's influenced by a belief and thought pattern. It might be literally like an energetic pattern that you're running that needs to be shifted. But I encourage you to maybe look at one area of your life that you feel has not really shifted the way that you wanted it to, or that you just want to work on or bring attention to, bring more nourishment to. And start to pay attention to the thoughts and the beliefs that come up when it's usually when you're activated, right? It's usually when we're in reactive mode, when you're feeling triggered or activated. That's the best time to utilize this. So in those moments when you're feeling triggered or activated, when that person knows the button to push and they push it, in that moment, can you create space to ask, what is the thought here? What is the lower vibrational energy that I'm experiencing right now? Where is that coming from? And give yourself some space to really commune with that, to look at it. It will present itself. You're going to see it. And then you can bring the black flame and set it on fire. So you bring the black flame to that, essentially setting it on fire with the black flame and allowing the energy of that to purify and cleanse and to restore it to its essence. So that could be the good intention that was behind it all along, but then it kind of accumulated a ton of shadow with it. Or maybe it's connected in with a desire, something that feels unfulfilled and unfed. It could also be connected to a trauma, a memory, and it can also be connected to a thought form or energy that has attached to you that isn't even yours. Okay. So in this practice, I ask you to simply observe, connect with this and observe and see what happens and stay in that place of curiosity and compassion for yourself. I would love to hear any feedback on this process, what happened for you if you choose to do this. And I really hope that it serves you in this time. So let's get back into talking about kapha season and springtime. I adore springtime because it's so sweet and gentle. And where I'm at in Southern Oregon, we have those little beautiful wildflowers that are popping up seemingly against all odds. They look so delicate and sweet, and yet there's such a rigorousness and a resilience in their energy and that wildness that I love. And that's what I feel about springtime. It has that Aries energy, that fire and that boost of coming out, but it's also kind of slow, and there's a softness in the air. And these are connected in with both the earth and the water. So it's really allowing us to be grounded and slow down. And of course, in the springtime, and most places that experience seasons are going to also experience water, increased rain and water. So this is how new life is born. It's through that combination of earth and water. However, if there's too much, then you can literally get stuck, right? Like getting stuck in the mud. And just like we might feel that mud in our head. So what are the things that we want to focus on when we enter this season where it might still feel it's getting warmer, but it still feels cold and it's a little heavier and it's moist? We want to bring in things that are lighter and drier and warming. So that could be through foods, plants, activities, and self-care rituals. When we look at the Ayurvedic approach, we want to focus on foods that are astringent and bitter and pungent in taste. In traditional Chinese medicine, there are organ systems that are connected to the seasons. And in the springtime, it is the liver and the gallbladder. So these two very much connected in with detoxification when we think about detox and tending to the health of our liver and gallbladder is really, really critical when it comes to springtime. And of course, Mother Nature supplies ample food and herbs to do just that. When we look at the liver, we can begin to assess the state of our liver health, even through other things. For example, our nails, the health of our nails and our eyes are connected in with liver. Our blood. So if you have your moon time and you bleed monthly, checking in on your blood is so important and connected to your liver. Also, anger. Do you have excess anger that you're feeling or maybe you're outbursting? Hormonal health is another piece that's very much connected to liver. When we look at the gallbladder, it's connected in with the emotions of, again, anger, but also frustration and maybe bottled up resentment that can cause stagnation of liver. And then that eventually produces heat, which affects the gallbladder. So we might experience, again, headaches. So I was talking about the liver connection in with headaches. Also thirst. You might feel extra thirsty, irritable, and you might have physical issues like gallstones or pain in the upper right side of your abdomen, so just under your right rib cage. When our gallbladder is healthy, we experience healthy levels of courage and judgment, and we have the gall to do things in a very positive way. So coming back to the seasons, as you experience Mother Nature and the environment around you shifting and changing, and how she is sort of detoxifying a lot of the things that have accumulated, whether it's like the ice and the snow begins to melt and things begin to come to life. You're seeing a little bit more green. You're seeing some of the flowers. Of course, this is all depending on where you live. It's also a time to see what are the ways that you can mirror that within your own body and life, helping to expel or pacify this excess accumulation of that earth, water, kapha energy from the body and from the mind. Astringent tastes are going to be beautiful to do that on a body level. So this can be with your vegetables and fruits and grains if you're eating those, and those that are have a drying effect on the body. Also, as mentioned, bitter and pungent foods and herbs are going to be beautiful because they're connected in also with that fire element. The foods that you might want to put a pause on if you're going to follow with more of the seasonal eating are going to be foods that are heavier, sour, and sweet. Those are going to be a little bit more on the kapha mucus accumulation side, and we don't want to go toward heaviness. We want to go toward lightness and kind of stick with what Mama Nature has available to us. So what are some examples? Well, dandelion is probably the biggest here, connected in with springtime that we see popping up all over the place. Bitter greens like kale and fenugreek leaves and cabbage, cauliflower, broccoli, arugula, pungent spices like onion and ginger and garlic, which, by the way, when we look at the herbs of Mars, which have sort of this energy of uplifting and energizing and detoxifying and also protection. Garlic is one of them, turmeric, cayenne, and nettles. Other spices to bring in are, I think, the warming spices like cardamom and cinnamon and coriander and cumin and cloves and ginger, if I didn't already mention that, and black pepper and the chilies. These are all really great for warming and for a lot of them drying up that excess moisture and kapha. When in doubt, if you have access to a farmer's market, and even just by looking around and picking up an herb book to help you identify and understand what's growing around you seasonally, speaking with the plant people in your community, I'm sure that many plant people would love to share their insights and their knowledge, especially those that maybe live in the city. How do you know if you got some extra kapha to clean up or if there's a kapha imbalance? Again, that increase in that moisture and earth elements. We want to look at physical, mental, and emotional body. We can see in terms of the body symptoms, excess mucus and congestion. We might have those allergies where there's a lot of mucus happening. Sluggish digestion or just digestive issues in general, sort of like that dullness and lethargy in the body, but also in the mind. maybe some swelling. I know that I have experienced that. I tend to experience that coming into the springtime. And also with my stomach, which all my life, I've had a lot of issues there. And I know I've talked about my journey with digestive stuff, which is the entire reason why I got into this holistic healthcare game and created Feed Your Wild Gut, which we will open doors to again this year. But those are what you could say weak points for my constitution and even my astrological chart. So I have to be on top of that. Otherwise, I will get sick or I'll experience digestive imbalances. And so knowing what areas really need more attention for yourself is going to be really helpful so you can kind of come in and nip it at the bud. Also, if you're feeling stuck in a rut or you're having attachment issues, like you're literally in a loop and you can't get out, or you can't break away from something that perhaps it's not such a healthy relationship or connection, then you want to look at that as a kapha-related thing to address as well. I'm going to leave you with one of my favorite teas in this time. And I also tend toward coldness, so it's really supportive for me to bring in a little extra heat in addition to it just being springtime. So pay attention to how it is for you. Like if you're overheated, you might not want to bring in things that are too hot or warming. Everything has to be calibrated to who you are, where you are in the season of your life, and how's your body doing, right? But I will share one of my favorite herbal teas that I just kind of throw together. It's tulsi, ginger, cinnamon, and a pinch of black pepper. And it's delicious and a bit spicy, and it's super supportive for your digestive system. If you have a favorite tea or recipe, I would love to hear from you as well. You can find me over on Instagram at Wildly Rooted. And we also have a Facebook group, the Feed Your Wild Coven. So you can click the link in the show notes if you want to join in and share with more resources with folks that are in our collective. And it's a really beautiful and sweet group. There are some exciting shifts and shape-shifting going on with Feed Your Wild and Wildly Rooted. I'm really excited to share that with you. And I am putting together an expanded version of Feed Your Wild Voice. I offered this as a 3-hour workshop before, it might have been like a year and a half ago already, which is so crazy to think about. And so many of you joined and loved it and wanted more. So I am really freaking excited about this and putting it together. So you will be the first to hear about it if you are on my email list. If you're on the newsletter list, that is the place where you get the lowdown of what's happening. You get first dibs on everything. And if you want to make sure that you don't miss out, then please sign up. You can go to wildlyrooted.com/subscribe, or you can click the link in the show notes. And if you're over on Instagram, there's also a link in the bio where you can sign up there too. And I promise I don't spam. Spam is gross, but I just love staying connected with you, both here on the podcast, but also through the ethers, the interwebs, and into your inbox. So if you want to learn more about that, go ahead and sign up. And I am sending you so many blessings. I hope that the black flame practice and some of the food and nourishment items in today's episode serve you as we move into this really beautiful and expansive springtime up here in the Northern Hemisphere. And by the way, if you're in the Southern Hemisphere, it's just as expansive. Just totally different quality and energy based off of your ecology and the environment that you're in. All right, loves, That's it for today, and I'm looking forward to connecting with you again for our monthly Akashic Soul Nourishment reading for April. So look out for that one, and I'll see you next time. Hey there, I made something for you. One of the biggest challenges that I hear from people is that they are feeling stuck when it comes to their health. You're a smart, capable, and creative change maker, right? And you know what you should be doing for your health. So what gives? Well, it's not about willpower. And I wanted to create something that would help you to unlearn the things that are keeping you stuck so that you can get out of your own way and master the mindset of health. That's why I created Wildly Unstuck, where you'll learn the top 5 things that I have found to sabotage your health goals and what to do about them. You'll learn what it really takes to become committed and unstoppable when it comes to your health goals and find the clarity you've been looking for so you know exactly what to do to get back into alignment. And I made it totally free. So if this is something that you want to dive into and create a vision and soul goals for your health and your life and bring your gifts to the world because we know that we need it, then I invite you to join us in Wildly Unstuck. You can find that at wildlyrooted.com/unstuck. I'll see you on the other side.